East Manhattan and the surrounding area.
Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Just after 9:34 in the morning on this Wednesday, Brady Bowman with you as I am every Wednesday. And again, I am here with former Governor John Carlin of Manhattan, 40th Governor of Kansas, 61st Speaker of the Kansas House, and 8th Archivist of the United States, and also professor at K-State. We've been talking about a lot of great stuff. If you missed any of that, missing these early segments, later in the day, you can go on our website, newsradiokman.com, click on the On Demand tab. You can catch up on this morning's In Focus, yesterday, last week, last year. As long as we've been archiving them, you can listen to that and catch up. We've been talking a lot about tax reform and just the political climate, Governor. And I think a lot of folks in Kansas look at the tax reform that's going on in the U.S. Senate, the one that was passed by the U.S. House, and there could be a little deja vu when they look at what this tax reform does. A lot of people look at Brownback's tax reform in 2012 and that sort of plan.
That's true. I mean, you know, you get into the details and they don't connect very well. But the overarching philosophy of operating on the basis cutting taxes, that you can stimulate growth, it's going to bring in more revenue than you were when you had a different level of taxation to begin with. It didn't work. It hasn't worked in earlier tries in this country. And I would think at some point we'd accept the fact that what you've got to do is find the right balance of taxation. One of the things I try to communicate to folks that believe in cutting is that you're going to actually be in far worse shape as a taxpayer if you go too far. Once your public schools are no longer of the quality to make the community attractive to live in, or once you put off maintenance of roads and bridges too long, you don't have much to offer. And you can reach the point where you really don't have a feasible plan to get back on top of things. You got to find that right middle mix, in my opinion. I always say that it's like a farmer deciding how much fertilizer to put on. It's never the best is as much as you possibly can afford, or as little you can skimp by. It's finding that sweet spot, so to speak, where you get the best you have the most opportunity to have the best return. And that's where we need to, we look at our roads. No, we don't want to build bridges we don't need, or expand four-lane to places that, a Super 2 concept where you got passing lanes and that sort of thing, and good shoulders would do. It's finding, using some common sense and finding what you can best serve the people, but with as minimal tax burden as possible.
Especially when you talk about cutting, as you said, that's great to a point, but nothing's free, right?
That's right.
It always kind of comes back around. We've seen that in Kansas.
Yes.
Since the 2012 cuts, is that, yeah, those taxes went down, but property taxes have went up quite a bit since then, and the big reason for that is that less money at the state level, and when that happens, especially when it comes to roads, when all of a sudden counties and cities have to come up with the money to fix their own roads instead of using those state funds, they got to get those taxes somewhere. We've seen sales tax increases, the largest sales tax increase.
That's correct.
In state history. And property taxes, that's the biggest complaint that you'll hear from most taxpayers and homeowners in the state, is property taxes are so high. Well, they're that way because they went up at the local level to make up for the deficiency from the state level.
And when you've had a bad year in business, the ag economy, you lose a job, you're still paying that property tax. There's no progressive aspect to the property tax like there is and should be with the income tax.
And that's the other thing with cutting, is that for it to really be sustainable and not cause any damage, you really have to have a lot of ideal conditions happening at the same time.
That's correct. And whether that can be sustained over a period of time is very unlikely.
And looking at the shifting to the state legislature, in a lot of ways, the new makeup of the legislature has been a response to some of those tax reform practices. And I guess your thoughts on how things are looking going ahead.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the public in general, the majority of the public voting for legislative candidates in 2016 voted for significant change, and it allowed the legislature to make the changes they voted for, including overriding governor's vetoes in the last session. Heading into January and the new session, the major challenge will be funding schools and linked to the Supreme Court decision that says, basically in layman's language, you didn't put enough into the school funding to satisfy that you're providing a level of funding that gets the job done. That's going to be a problem, not an easy one to solve. From a political point of view, you have to keep in mind that many legislators already have voted for a significant tax increase. They're headed into an election on the House side in the November of 2018 or the primary in January. And so I don't think it's going to be more difficult to get the votes to do what probably is going to have to be done to satisfy the court. Now, there will be some movement on the part of some particularly conservative legislators to pitch the idea the courts shouldn't be involved. Well, our Constitution that was put together in 1863 or shortly thereafter put public education as a responsibility of the state government to step in and fund it correctly. If the court hadn't had that responsibility to uphold that Constitution, we would be very much underfunding public education in Kansas, in my opinion, because it would have been difficult. You look back in the last 20 years, the court has stepped in quite often, and it's been on an unwillingness of the state government, the in some cases the executive branch, in some cases both the executive and the legislative branch, to properly fund public education. And when you do that, the court steps in, and there's going to be a movement to try to change the Constitution so the court doesn't have that power. And I think that'd be a very unfortunate situation and would penalize public education significantly over time.
Just recently, Susan Weigel, the president of the Senate, said just that she's looking to change the state constitution to take that equitable requirement out of the
Constitution. Correct.
Do you see any way that actually happens?
Well,
I guess you never know anymore.
It's going to be an impossible situation because I don't think they have the votes. It's going to be difficult to get the votes to actually increase taxes again. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's going to be very difficult, particularly because you've got a governor, regardless of our sort of awkward situation now where we don't know for sure who is going to be governor come January. We're assuming the lieutenant governor will be, and his philosophy parallels who he's succeeding. And consequently, to get the taxes is going to be a huge challenge. But on the other hand, to change the Constitution, I don't think, you have to get 2/3 vote in both houses and then a vote, obviously, in over time from the people. And, picturing right now an outcome that's going to have most Kansans feeling good is difficult. The legislature has their work cut out for them. I can say that for sure. They will earn their salary, particularly those who are really committed to providing leadership. It's still going to be difficult.
I couldn't imagine what the political fallout of that would be, just that sort of fight and what that would look like, especially with the public getting involved. I mean, we see protests anyway.
That's correct.
I think we'd see a lot of them in that case.
Yeah. We actually had a real example of the right kind of leadership going forward in this last session when the Republican chair of the House Taxation Committee openly sought out and got the input of the ranking Democrat on the committee, Tom Sawyer from Wichita, because he respected Tom for his knowledge and experience. The chair was Representative Johnson from Saline County, where I grew up. I know the family really well. that made a huge difference. And there was some of the, in a similar way in the Senate, where you had openly, publicly was understood, there were Republicans working with Democrats. Whether that can be done again, I don't know. But again, it goes back to the problem of so many were willing to cast those votes the first time, but to do it again in an election year, just being practical here, going to be tough.
Let's go ahead and take our last break of this segment. We'll come back. We'll talk more with former Governor John Carlin of Manhattan right here on News Radio KMAN.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged, get 24/7 response from Restore of the Heartland. 776-9668. Online at